This is the 24th of March, 1976, and Gerda and I are interviewing in the Santa Barbara area. Would you please give me your full name, sir?
My name is Albert Engstrup Gregersen.
And would you please give me your name?
Kirsten Jacobson Gregersen.
You are a descendant of an immigrant, are you not, sir?
Yes. My father and my mother both were born in Denmark. And their parents came to this country. My mother's parents came to this country in 1874 when my mother was two. They came to a place in Iowa. The reason they came to Iowa was that a man whose name was Jens Larsen, who was a sailor. They were born on the little island of Ærø, which is a sailor's island. And he had jumped ship in San Francisco because he had heard that the railroad back to New York had been, back to Omaha, had been completed. And so he wanted to take a trip across the country. And it must have been about 1869 or something like that. I think the railroad was completed about, maybe the railroad was completed in 69. But anyhow, it was shortly after it was completed. And he enjoyed the trip across the country. I've talked to this old gentleman who was a neighbor of ours when we lived in Iowa. But I was dumb enough at that time not to be interested in those things. But I do remember that he told about how he had taken the train across the country. And when he came to this rich black soil in Iowa, he said to himself, this is the place we're going to go to. So he went back to Ærø and talked four or five families, friends of his, into going to America. And my grandmother used to tell me that when they came to Ellis Island, the Mormons were so kind to them and so helpful, but they wanted them to go to Salt Lake. But they were persistent, as most Danes are, you know, and they wanted to go to this place that Jens Larsen had picked out for them out on the rich soil in Iowa. And she used to tell me, as a matter of fact, that if the Mormons had succeeded in that, I might have been a Mormon myself. But they came out to the prairie of Iowa and bought land for, I think, 25 or 30 cents an acre of this rich black soil. But it was a long ways from the railroad. It was 17 to 20 miles, I think, to the railroad. And it was pretty isolated. No doctors, no anything. And grandmother, who was a very religious person, wanted to get a Danish church started there. So she was instrumental in starting the church at Elkhorn, Iowa, which was one of the first Danish churches in this country. And the first minister was a Norwegian minister. Then they built a folk high school, the Elkhorn Folk High School, and she was also instrumental in starting that. And as a matter of fact, that high school was instrumental in my father coming out there as a teacher many years later, or not many years later, and he met my mother, and that was it. That's how those things happened.
Right. I'd like to turn the microphone to your wife now, sir. You are an immigrant, and I would like to have you tell us about the aspects of your immigration which you remember.
I was 13 years old when father and mother decided to take a trip to California and stay for 1 year, then go back to Denmark. And there were five children, two brothers and two sisters, and myself. I was 13 and started going to school. My brothers started going to Stanford, and we all liked it so well in California that we stayed.
Would you please give me the names of your mother, your brothers, your father?
My mother's name was Ellen Marie Elizabeth LaCour Siegenfeld. And my father's name was Hans Christian Jacobson.
And your brothers?
My oldest brother is Ludwig Jacobson, who has been a professor at Stanford for many years. And my younger brother is an astronomer teaching at University of Washington. His name is Theodore Jacobson. My oldest sister is Ingrid Wilson, married in Hollywood. And my younger sister is Elizabeth Lindman now.
And would you mind if I move back and ask you for the specific names of your grandmother and your descendants who came from Denmark?
Well, now, let's see. My maternal grandmother was Anna Madsen. That was her married name. And my grandfather's name was Christian Madsen. My paternal grandfather was Peder, P-E-D-E-R, Ingstrup, I-N-G-S-T-R-U-P, Gregersen. And my paternal grandmother was paternal grandmother's name was Anne, A-N-E, Gregersen. The family homestead was located near the North Sea, or on the edge of the North Sea, 10 miles or so west of Lemby, which is near the western entrance to the Limfjord in northern Jutland.
And your parents, Mrs. Gregersen?
My mother was born in northern Jutland, and her father was a minister. My father was born in Sønderjylland. Møller was his home.
And what were the names?
Father's name was Hans Christian Jacobsen. You got that.
And
mother's name was Ellen Marie Elisabeth Lacour Siegumfeld.
All right.
He came to this country, came to a place called Cedar Falls, Iowa. And why he came there, we have never been able to find out. But there was a man there whose name was Holst, who published a Danish newspaper called Danavirke. And father apparently came to him and got a job as a typesetter in his Danish newspaper. And then he went to night school in the Iowa State Teachers College, which is also was also located at Cedar Falls. And this is where he learned English, apparently. Father spoke English with a Danish accent all his life, but spoke very good English. But then, after he had been there for a short time, he apparently had a hankering to get back to his old profession, which was teaching, which he had studied at a seminary in Denmark, and an opportunity to teach in the new folk high school at Elkhorn, Iowa, presented itself. And he went out there. This was somewhere in the early 90s, 91 or 92. And there he met my mother, because her family was very prominent in the church and in the school. And that was the result of it, was their marriage.
Do you know of any reasons why your father came to the United States?
No, I don't. I've tried to find out, talking to a cousin of his, an old cousin of his, when I came to Denmark in 1945, and this gentleman died a month later, so I had no chance to pursue a lead which he had given me. He said my father had, and he were very close friends, and they had often spoken about this business of going to America. And apparently it was quite a romantic thing in their lives, the fact that father left at the age of 20 all by himself to go to this great and wild country over there.
Now, going to Mrs. Gregersen for just a moment, would you explain how you and your family either knew English or learned English in this country?
Well, we came because father wanted to travel. He had wanted to travel while he was young and didn't have a chance. So when he sold his business in Denmark, which was Slotsmøllen in Nyborg, he decided to take the whole family to the United States and see California. We didn't speak English. I had learned a little in school. We all did. You could say, I can hop, I can run, can you? That was all. But we picked it up pretty quickly. We all started going to school. And Mother didn't pick it up very quickly, but she got along all right.
Do you remember anything that happened because to you, to your family at that time, because of limited knowledge of English?
Yes, I remember a Negro boy ran after me at school because I looked at him so much and couldn't talk to him. And no, there's no actual reason to think that not speaking the language was against us.
Tell them about Elsa Tusen, meeting Elsa Tusen in school.
I was sitting on a, what do you call it?
Teeter-totter.
Teeter-totter. And this girl came and sat on the other one. And I discovered that she could speak Danish. I couldn't speak English at the time. So we got to be very good friends, and she asked me to come home and see her mother. And I asked her mother to come and see my mother, and we've been friends for 60 years.
Mrs. Gregersen, you were only 13 when you came, but do you remember how the family in Denmark felt when you left?
You mean my family?
The people that stayed.
Yes, they thought we were just going to go for a trip and come back again. So they didn't object to it. My grandfather was very much against it.
How did your family feel when they learned that you were going to stay in the good land?
I don't think they liked it too much. They thought we should come back and be good Danes.
Father was a teacher at Elkhorn Folk High School, and his family then came over, and they rented a farm in the vicinity of Atlantic, Iowa, a dairy farm, which was complete, as I understand it, with cattle, cows and all that. And the brothers, there were three brothers, and they all worked very hard, and they were there for something like 4 or 5 years and made quite a bit of money. But it was so hard that one of my uncles later on told me that he doesn't know how he stood it. And so they went back to Denmark. The whole family went back to Denmark except my father. All of them who had come over here all went back to Denmark. But during this time in America, their ambition was to make enough money to go back to Denmark. And my two aunts went to work in Omaha in a furrier shop, where they worked very hard, apparently. And they all added this to the family income, you see. Two of Father's sisters came back to America, and one of his brothers came back over here. One brother stayed in Denmark. Grandmother died before the family went back to Denmark, and she is buried in the Elkhorn, Iowa cemetery. Grandfather went back to Denmark with his children, and he developed cancer shortly after he came over there. And father and mother and my older brother and I was then a year old, 1900, and we went back because father wanted us to see his father before he died. And we stayed over there until grandfather died. I think we must have been over there maybe 3 months or so, and then came back over here again. And then after that, the other brothers, or the brother that came back, and his two sisters came back after that.
What kind of employment did your uncles, aunts get when they came here the second time?
My uncle became a farmer near Kimbolton, Iowa. And my aunts both married. One of my aunts married my mother's brother. And the other one was married when she came back to this country. Was married to a blacksmith whose name was Skrøder, 84. He went back to Denmark in 1892 on a visit with a friend of his, a Dr. Sø, in Kimbolton, Iowa. And then he went back again in 1900, 8 years later, when his father died. Then he went back again in 1908, when he himself had had a heart attack, and the doctor suggested that he should go back to something called Finsen's Institute in Copenhagen. And he was over there, he and my mother went over there, and stayed there for 6 months. Then he was about ready to go over again in 1916, another 8 years later. But then he became ill, and he had his terminal illness, died in 1917, in March 1917. When father and mother came back from their visit to Denmark in 1908, father apparently had developed, smallpox on the ship. There was an infestation of smallpox on the ship, but they didn't know it. And then they came back from New York to Chicago on the 20th Century Limited. I always remember that. They made it in 1 day, I think. And that was quite a record. And then he came out to Kimbolton, and he had been instrumental, or had been helpful, in the building of a small railroad from Atlantic, Iowa, to Kimbolton, 17 miles, built by the people in the neighborhood. And father had some kind of a pass. I think he had a pass where he could get half fare. He used to travel a lot. He always told mother that he made a lot of money because he got it at half price. But when they came back from Chicago, they had a special train to take him out to Kimbolton from Atlantic. And then we had a maid, and father was quarantined immediately. The whole family was quarantined, and this maid was quarantined with him, with all of us, you see. And she was so angry about this that she wouldn't help mother a bit. She didn't do a thing during that quarantine, which was, I think, was 6 weeks.
I want to go over to Mrs. Gregerson again. Where and why did your family settle in the various places in California?
I think just because we came to San Francisco and we liked it very much. We settled first in San Jose and then in Los Altos. And then my brother started going to Stanford. Then we moved up to Napa, where father bought a sheep ranch after he had decided not to go back to Denmark. And we lived up there for several years.
And how did you meet Mr. Gregerson?
Through my brothers, who also went to Stanford, and Albert and his two brothers were at Stanford, and there was a Danish professor, Blichfeldt, who thought all the Danes should meet each other. And that's how.
Was it love at first sight?
No.
No. My brothers-in-law had invited us to come up to their home at Napa during the first Easter vacation that we were at Stanford. And Kirsten at that time was going to high school, and she was very much interested in tennis, and she was very much interested in a boy in high school who played tennis. So that was the reason that she wasn't so interested in me. I was such an old fellow, you know, at that time, to her. And we didn't really meet until 1929, I guess it was. And that was purely by accident in Los Angeles. I was going to a meeting at the Biltmore Hotel, and I had half an hour to kill, so I went over to the library, which is right next to the Biltmore. And Kirsten, and as I walked into the library, out walked Kirsten and a friend of hers. And that was the first time I'd seen her for quite a few years.
Did you recognize her?
Oh, yes.
Did she recognize
her? Oh, yes,
you?
She did. She
wanted to know how my father and mother were. He wasn't a bit interested in what I was.
That was a very romantic.
But I was at the university, and he called me next day and invited me out.
Well, I must tell you something about that, too.
Oh, this isn't interesting.
Well, it is to me, because Kirsten was going to the university then, and she was interested in Søren Kierkegaard, the Danish philosopher. And she was going to give her life to Søren Kierkegaard. And so then I became very interested in Søren Kierkegaard, and I wanted to borrow books about Søren Kierkegaard. I never looked at them, but I just borrowed them, so I had a reason to go back.
In school, did you go any further with Søren Kierkegaard other than to have it as a kind of a bait to catch Mr. Gregersen?
Yes, I certainly did. I studied Kierkegaard for years in the university. I got interested in him because my German professor, when he heard I came from Denmark, said, "Oh, then you can read Søren Kierkegaard in Danish." And I thought, who is Søren Kierkegaard? So next time I went to the library, I looked it up, and they had all 13 volumes, beginning with Enten Eller. And I started taking them out and reading them, wrote papers, and I studied philosophy at the university. That was my major. And I wrote papers, and one was chosen to be read in the Philosophical Union. So after I graduated, Dean Reber said, you should go on with that, and you can probably get a fellowship. So I got a fellowship at Yale and went there for a year and studied nothing but Kierkegaard and philosophy. But then I decided to stop.
In the state of California, there is a very Danish town called Solvang, and I understand that your father was extremely instrumental in beginning the Danish community there.
Well, he was one of the three Danes who started it. One of them was Pastor Benedict Nordentoft, and the other one was a man whose name was Hornsyld, who had gotten a master's degree at the University of Iowa, incidentally. And Nordentoft was the president of Grand View College in Des Moines, Iowa. And he was a graduate of the University of Copenhagen and was very much interested in having this run as a university. And the rest of the people were not quite as interested in that. They were, that is, the seminary part of it. And the, so Nordentoft resigned, or rather he was asked to resign, and Father thought that he hadn't been treated fairly. So they had been in California together in 1906 with the idea of looking around out here for a possible site for a folk high school. And so Nordentoft asked Father if he didn't want to go out here again, I mean to start such a thing. And he did that. I mean, Father gave up his job. He was at that time the minister in Cedar Falls, Iowa. And he, Hornsyld moved out here. Hornsyld was a teacher at Grandview College. And Hornsyld gave up his job at Grandview College and came to Alameda to be on the ground to look around for something. And he came in contact with a real estate man in San Francisco whose name was Rufus P. Jennings. And Rufus P. Jennings found a piece of land in Mendocino County, near a place called Laytonville. And so they invited some 40 or 50 Danish people from across the country to come out there and look at this property. And while they were up there, they found out that it wasn't suited for it. It was cut over land, not farming. And on the way back from Laytonville to Willits, which was the northern terminal of the railroad at the time, they had an accident on the Black Bart grade. That was where Black Bart used to hold up the stagecoaches. And many of the people were injured and fell down a hillside, a four-horse stagecoach, you know. So that put a sort of a crimp in the idea, but shortly after that, it didn't put a crimp in the real estate man. He found this piece of property down here at Solvang, 9,000 acres, which was available, and they bought that and started the town of Solvang in The property was bought in the spring of 1911, and the town was started in the summer of 1911. We came here from Tacoma, Washington, where Father had moved from Cedar Falls in order to be near the activity. And so he came down there as the minister, the first Danish minister. And that was because they wanted him to be president of the land company, the Danish American Colony Company. And then they wouldn't have to pay him for that. They could pay him for being a minister. And that was the beginning of it. And when we came there, there was very little but the old mission and a one-room schoolhouse. That was all there was, and a bean field or a grain field or something like that.
Were you at all instrumental in any of the development aspects of Solvang?
Well, my only connection with it was as a son of my father, and I worked for him. I mean, I worked for him for 4 years before I went to high school, and during those 4 years I worked on the ranch most of the time. We had two ranches, one at Buellton and one at about 3-4 miles north of Solvang. But then Father died in 1917, and my brother who had started, my brother Hofton, my older brother, had started the University of California in 1916. Father died in March of 1917, so Hofton came home, and we decided we couldn't go to college. Then I was still in high school, didn't graduate until 1918. But during those years between 1917 and 1920, when we finally went to Stanford, we all worked on the ranch, tried to make ends meet.
Now, you, Mr. Gregerson, were not born in Denmark, but you have lived in Denmark, you have visited there. Would you more or less summarize some of your feelings toward Denmark, the Danish language, the Danish people?
Well, I came to Denmark for the first time outside of my infantile visit in 1900. I came there for the first time in 1945 at the end of the war. As a matter of fact, the war in Japan had not ended when I came over there. I was flown over by American Airlines, I guess it was. And then I flew from London to Denmark in an RAF plane, and it was a beautiful sunny day, and we flew rather low over the country, and I remember that we flew, I saw my mother's birthplace, which is in Aoi, and I saw my wife's birthplace, which is in Nyborg. We flew right in between, and I saw both of them. And then we came into Copenhagen, and it was the day that Truman had announced that the war had ended. And there were flags all the way from the airport into town. I had had a reservation at the Hotel d'Angleterre, but that had gone by the boards because I was 5 days late. So I finally went to the British town major and asked him if he could arrange some sleeping accommodations for me. And he says, "What, are you here on official business?" And I said, "No, I'm not. I'm here on private business." "Well, how did yous come here?" He said, "Well, I came here with the RAF plane." "Well, if yous came with the RAF plane, yous are here on official business." So he said, "You're going to stop at the Kongen of Denmark," I think that place opposite East Asiatic, which I looked out on the first morning I was there. It had been bombed. But that was my entry into Copenhagen. Romantic, sort of a sentimental feeling I had, because I looked at the country like a map, and I had learned the geography of Denmark. I had gone to, my father had a Danish tutor who also taught us English, incidentally. And I saw the country spread out before me like a map. Beautiful sunny day. And of course I spoke the language, which helped me a lot. That was one reason why the company wanted me to go over there, as a matter of fact. And I had a great deal of fun out of my 5-6 years originally, first time we were over in Denmark, because of the fact that I spoke Danish. I found out that my dialect was that which my father had, and it was Jutland dialect. He did not have a pronounced dialect, but many of the things I said, for instance, I remember asking a man one day for some svalstikker.
Even though their wives don't understand it. But we always speak English to them.
Do you remember, either one of you, any lovely little stories about your parents' friends when they were first in this country, or even as they were growing to become a part of this country?
What?
You're thinking about my story about Dr. Sue? Father had this friend who was a doctor, whose name was Sue, so as it is in English, and they were friends from the very early youth in this country. And when Father came out to Elkhorn to be a teacher in the Elkhorn Folk High School, he and Dr. Sue used to go out on calls together at night, and Dr. Sue was crossing the Nishni Botna Creek near Kimbleton, and there was a bridge there with no railing on it. And as they crossed it on one dark night, rainy night, the horses were leading the parade, and they got too close to the edge, and the buggy went over and down in the creek. And Dr. Sue jumped out. He was on the side toward the bridge. He jumped out, and the horses were beating around down there, and Father was lying down there in the mess. And Dr. C looked over the edge, and he asked Father, "Edward Gregerson," which means, "Are you dead, Gregerson?"
We just noticed that your mother had a French name. Can you explain that?
Well, she came from the Delacour family. Pierre Dononville Delacour came up to Denmark during the Huguenot, instead of being beheaded in France, and that's how it happened that the French name came in there.
Or have you continued the French name in any of your children?
No, we haven't. And my mother's last name was Siegenfeld. Her father was a minister in Jutland, and we have all had that as our middle name.
Family came from Schleswig. There's a place down there called Siegumfeld, and the grandfather or great grandfather was a tobacco merchant in Copenhagen, and he built the German church in Copenhagen.
Gave it to the church. But there are many
Delacours
left in Denmark. You find the name all over.
As a matter of fact, one of the famous teachers at ASCO was a Paul Delacour, who taught, and he was the man who, he didn't invent the telephone, but he invented something very important in the telephone, in connection with the telephone.